Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. This is My Paranormal Experience. I'm Nikki Paranormal, and I'm going to bring on my co-host, Dave Spinks.
Hey, everybody.
Good day, Dave. How you doing tonight?
Good. How are you doing?
I am actually okay. I'm good. I'm good. I'm going to go with that. I've had, like, a crazy, I had a crazy busy weekend. I got to go to Philadelphia and investigate Fort Mifflin. It was my first idealism management thing, and it was really neat. So that was just, like, totally awesome. So I'm kind of coming down off that high, you know, of all the fun. And then I came back to, like, a ridiculous amount of work, even more so than usual, just, like, impossible to even fathom. But, yeah, so I'm just got to get in the swing of things. What you got planned for the week, my man?
Oh, VA appointments today, and me and Cindy were supposed to do an investigation tomorrow. We're going to do some stuff up at WVU, but I don't know what the weather's going to hold out for us. There's a lot of rain coming.
That's what I hear. We just got a weather report from the guys we have on the line. Do you want to go ahead and introduce them so we can go ahead and bring them in, or do you want me to?
You go ahead.
All right. I've been so excited about this interview. I have watched absolutely every video I could get my hands on YouTube. I have, like, watched a few of them in particular. I think I might have watched to the point where I might have the words memorized. Okay, I'm not going to lie. They're my latest obsession, and we get to talk to them tonight. How freaking cool is this? I'm going to bring on the guys from Living Dead Paranormal.
All right.
How you guys doing?
Hello. Hi. What's going on, guys?
Oh, not much. Like you said, just dealing with all this rain. I think we got about 2 inches about an hour ago, so.
Ew.
To go with the 3 inches we got the other day.
Oh, my goodness. Are you guys getting boats yet?
Not yet, but pretty soon.
Not yet.
I think all next week it's supposed to rain.
Ugh, I'm over rain. I'm over all of that. Then again, I'm kind of not looking forward to, like, sweltering hot either, so I don't know. I want that perfect weather where it's not raining. It's sunny, but it's not too terribly hot, you know. Impossible. Paradise.
Yeah, we'll get that in September.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as it's not tornadoes,
exactly.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah. I don't want any more of that kind of stuff, please. So, guys, why don't you tell us about who you all are and what y'all do?
Well, we're three brothers. We've spent probably the last 10 years traveling the country. A lot of what we do is, you know, one, investigate the paranormal, but we also like to document stories of different haunted locations in the history and homeowners and stuff that are dealing with hauntings and things like that. So, but yeah, we've been doing that for about 10 years. The three of us grew up in a haunted house for about 3 years, and that's kind of what got us started into the paranormal. We were just left with a lot of questions and things like that. But that's kind of what we've been doing for the last 10 years.
Awesome.
How long have
you guys been doing it on YouTube?
What's that?
Where was your haunted house located? Is it in the same area that you guys live now? Or?
Yeah,
it's
actually
probably about 20 minutes.
Yeah, about 20 minutes from here.
Did you guys move out because of the activity, or?
That was one of the reasons. Of course, back then, you know, we were a lot younger, so you didn't have a lot of the paranormal shows on TV, and without the internet and things like that, there was really, at that time, nobody to contact to deal with anything like that, so you kind of just dealt with it yourselves, or you moved out.
Yeah, I hear you.
So how long have you guys been doing your videos on YouTube?
Yeah, me and Nick have been watching you guys' videos, man. We like your work, and we think you're really good at what you do. From what I've seen, I really enjoy the way you do your investigations and, you know, the way you film them. Who's the tech guy?
I'd be Rocky.
Rocky.
Rocky?
Yeah.
Does he do all the video and camera work, or do you guys share
into
that?
Oh, we share into it. Most of it, you know, I spend a lot of time doing the camera work, but during the investigation, you know, normally we're running quite a few cameras.
I hear you. Yeah.
Cool. So how long have you been putting the videos on YouTube?
We started, I think our first video we uploaded was back in 2007. And we did a residential case. And remember, this is shortly after we'd only been investigating for a couple of years. So we were still learning the ins and outs of investigating and making the same mistakes you see a lot of newer teams make. So, but we decided learn as you go.
You know, you can look and see where you came from and where you are today, you know, and everybody can see, you know. So that's really awesome.
Yeah. But we had caught a bunch of cool evidence at this residential case we did, and we just wanted to put it out there for people to view and get the feedback, what they thought about it. And so it was only like your little six-minute evidence video. It wasn't nothing in-depth. And I think within the first couple of weeks, it had like 500,000 views, and we got like 30-some thousand comments. And people wanted to see more of what happened before and what happened afterwards and more of the investigation. So we gradually started making our videos a little bit longer and sharing more of the process. So if you go back and look at our early videos back in 2007 versus what we do now, it's like completely different, not as far as how we investigate things, but just the quality of things.
Right.
So it's been a learning
process. Yeah, actually, Dave does that too. Dave does the YouTube channel as well. So, you know, whenever I'm always on YouTube, I'm watching stuff because I work from home. So I have the luxury of being able to put on something on one of my computers. And then, because I'm really, literally have like four of them all around me here. So,
yeah.
I can honestly say I think I've watched absolutely every video that I've been able to get my paws on YouTube that you guys have done. And some of them I've watched a whole lot more than once because I'm fascinated by some of the cases that you guys have gone on. How do you get these cases? I mean, are people reaching out to you? Or are you hearing about them and then contacting them? How does that work?
A lot of it's just researching. That's one of the reasons we like going to some of the paranormal events, you know, that are open to the public, because we're able to network with not only other teams and haunted locations, but just the general public. So that's more about just getting your name out there. And but, you know, a lot of it's through word of mouth, or if we'll see, we'll be researching one location and come across another location, I think, well, that'd be cool to get into. But even though we've done a lot of the bigger places like Pennhurst and Waverly Hills and things like that, we still try to go out and find those unknown places that people haven't heard of.
Yeah, actually, a few of the videos that you guys have, I mean, I love the Pennhurst video and Waverly. I mean, those two places are relatively close. I mean, they're not, you know, the question. I can drive there in a day, yet I've yet to make it to them. So they're on my bucket list. But you guys, the places that you've investigated that I've watched, you guys have actually, you know, I put some of the places you guys have done that aren't the larger, more well-known places are actually higher on my bucket list now than Waverly. And Pennhurst, if you can believe that, everyone's like, no. I'm like, no, really. Yes. Wow. That's what I got to say about that. Wow.
Yeah, Pennhurst is really, it's really a cool place.
Yeah, I talked to Nick Cross and at the New Jersey Para-Unity event that they had in Patterson, and he came up to me and goes, "You're Nikki." I was like, "Hey, what's up?" And he was like, "You got to come." And I'm like, "I know. I want to go." I was like, "Can we go right now?" He was like,
"Yeah, that place is hard to
moment.
That place is hard to describe, you know, even on video, unless you're actually standing right there on the property and walking around. Just the energy and the feelings you get walking around the property. So you definitely got to do that one.
Now, out of all the places that you guys have investigated, and I'm sure it's probably not the same for every team member, but maybe it is, what would you say was the place that you left, I don't know, is there a place that you ran out of that you're like, I don't want anything to do with that?
I think we've had a, we've never,
yeah. Well,
we've had something
out.
We thought about it, but we never did it. But
yeah.
Right.
I would say, and you know, Rockies might be different, but for me, it was probably the Pollock Hospital over in Bartonville, Illinois, just
mm-hmm.
because it was so crazy active the minute we got started until the minute we left, and we ended up sleeping inside the asylum on cots. So to me, that was one of the, and that was probably what, our first major investigation where we had just all kinds of crazy stuff taking place.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds right up my alley, actually.
Yeah, mine's probably the same place at Bartonville. I mean, that place was just insane. I mean, they all went to sleep on their cots, and I was, like, laying there, like, wide awake all night long, and stuff was just running up to the cots. You'd hear it running down the hallways. You'd hear trash cans, doors moving. It'd run up and grab your ankles and turn around and run away. But I think the most freakiest thing was when the cots lifted up that I was, you know, laying on, me and Sean, and dropped back down to the floor.
Yeah, we got all that on video.
Yeah, at that time, I grabbed Sean and started shaking him. I was like, get up, we got to get out of here. And he just played there asleep and yelled at me a couple times, and he just rolled over and went back to sleep. But,
oh, wow.
Pretty well.
Yeah, don't you love that? It's like, wake up, seriously, check out this video. Like, look what's happening. I need to get out of here. Yeah, go back to bed. You know?
If I had the keys, I'd have left them that night. I'd have been at the nearest hotel.
Hey, guys, what's your what is your favorite type of evidence to collect, whether it be EVPs or video? And after that question, do you have any one significant piece of evidence that you know could share with us that you could say there's no doubt you know that's paranormal?
I would say, probably for us, it's more of the video and audio. We don't get too excited if a K2 or anything like that spikes. Although
right. We
use, a lot of times we'll use that equipment just to validate the experiences we're captured on video or audio. But I say, you know, for me, it would be just knowing that there's three of us in the building and we capture a woman screaming or, you know, a child screaming or something like that, or a door slamming. I mean,
right.
To me, those are the pieces of evidence that you have no explanation for.
Right. Personally, I like, you know, when you're doing it, whether it be EVP or you catch a disembodied voice out of thin air, and you know for a fact it wasn't none of you, and, you know, a voice just comes out of thin air, whether it be a scream or whatever. I mean, that just is very compelling to me.
Yeah.
Definitely. So if you guys had to pick a piece of equipment as your staple piece of equipment, what a device would it be?
Mine would be a video camera.
Yeah.
I'd have to say the same thing. Mine would be a night vision camera. I enjoy, like, being able to capture the shadows, you know, running across halls and stuff like that.
Yeah, actually, last night, Dave and I both, we were on, I'm also a Gettysburg Ghost Gal, and we were on last night, and I was talking about my experience at the orphanage about shadow play. And all I had to say was shadow play, and then the guy on the other end who was actually sitting in the Jenny Wade house was like, as soon as you said it, in the basement of the Jenny Wade, that he saw a shadow move across the room from the fireplace area over to the door, and then he heard, like, four bangs, he said. And I'm like, oh, man. You know, when you're on the phone with somebody and they're there, and it just makes me want to go jump in the car and run and investigate. Little
yeah.
did I realize we'd have an investigation last night, Dave, didn't we?
Yeah. At your house.
At my house, yes. Over the phone
yeah.
at my house. Yeah, so I guess be careful what you wish for when you're into the paranormal, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
So
hey,
have you
guys
ever had any fear of bringing anything home?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
We've had a couple different experiences after pretty intense investigations,
mm-hmm.
but fortunately it was more of a night terror thing. You know, if you're
mm-hmm.
on a real intense investigation and get all this crazy stuff taking place, and then maybe the next night or two you would have nightmares. But as far as bringing anything home, we've been pretty fortunate to not have anything like that happen.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what.
What are your goals in investigating paranormal?
It really depends. When we're doing residential cases, it's more to help the family or the homeowners understand what's going on, whether it be paranormal or not paranormal. Because, like I'm sure you guys know, a lot of times you run into cases where it's just natural causes and there's really nothing paranormal going on, but it's just educating them on what they're experiencing. And then if you run into a residential case where they have a true haunting taking place, then it's, for us, we spend a lot of time trying to empower them to take their lives back and their home back and lead them in the right path to get rid of it. And then, of course, with a lot of the other locations like Waverly Hills and Pennhurst and things like that, it's just going in and seeing what we can document on video or audio. And with Pennhurst, it was really about sharing the story of the children of Pennhurst and some of the history
video.
That took place.
That video you guys did on that was awesome, by the way. It was really good.
Well, thanks. That was right before we had to switch everything over to HD.
Yeah. It was put together really well.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Now I have a question, because I actually had the pleasure of meeting a lovely girl who has gotten to go investigate with you guys, the lovely Cassidy Ray.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to know what do you guys feel a medium brings to an investigation?
I think if you get – what was cool with Cassidy is because we'd worked with other mediums and stuff in the past, and it really didn't gel well with our core group. And with
mm-hmm.
Cassidy, she just fit right in so good.
She's like, yeah.
I think it was just
fun.
And it was a learning curve for us because she was so young when we first investigated with her. I think she was 14. We were out in St. Joe's, Missouri at a psychiatric hospital. And so we were maybe a little bit overprotective of her,
mm-hmm.
you know, just because of her age and things like that. But once we got to work with her, and it just gelled well together. But I think
she's awesome.
Working with mediums, you can be more direct in your questioning, especially a place that you don't know a lot of the history. And so instead of asking all these vague questions, trying to get answers, maybe they could lead you in a more direct path, so your questioning's more mm-hmm. towards certain people or certain events.
Right. Now, you guys did an investigation of, is it Posttown Elementary? Posttown?
Posttown.
Am I butchering it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that place is insane.
Yeah, we've been there twice, and each time we caught pretty good evidence. The first time it was relatively new to the paranormal field, so there wasn't a whole lot known about it. But it's definitely up there one of our top investigations, I think.
I've watched it like 7 times, I think. Yeah.
Steve watched it more than Rocky has then.
I can't help it, you know, yes, YouTube's got a lot of junk on it, right? But when it comes to quality paranormal investigation and stuff that I feel, you know, is actually performing and putting the paranormal in a positive light, when you actually sit down and you look at that on the internet, there's really not as much available as I would like to see. And that's why I value you guys. You guys are right up there, you know, number one. You guys doing things the right way. I think you guys are awesome. I'm like,
thank you.
You know, like, I swear, all week I was like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, you'll never guess who we're interviewing. And I'm sure everybody's probably like, just shut up, girl, please. But, like, seriously, I told everyone about you guys' investigations on YouTube. I've told them to check it out. And anyone who's listening who hasn't needs to head over there. And can you tell them how to find your YouTube channel?
Yeah, if you just go to YouTube and you type in Living Dead Paranormal, it'll pull up all of our videos. And then our page is actually Foreman 04. I think we've got close to 100 videos on there. And so you can go back to the first one and see how lousy we were till nowadays. So, you know, we would always do an investigation.
We'd get down
with our investigation back then and be like, okay, don't do that again. Because you go back and watch the video when you're reviewing the evidence and, you know, the whispering and things like that. And so,
yeah. I mean, now you got to start somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
And you guys are probably all self-taught doing this, right, as far as video and everything else goes?
Yeah,
yep.
Josh,
first time.
He does all the editing. Josh actually puts together all the films and everything like that. And he's all self-taught.
Yeah, and you'll find that a lot, you know, with guys like us and on YouTube and stuff. I'm all self-taught. I just picked up the computer and started messing with video editing programs because I want to get the message out there, and I'm sure that's the same thing you guys are trying to do, you know, show your evidence and show that there's something else after we die, you know.
Right.
Yeah, for me, that's like my main goal, you know, is sharing with other people that there is another side, you know, after we die.
Yeah, definitely is. Are there any places that you guys, like, went and investigated and you know you have to go back there because you feel like there's more to be found out?
Yeah, I think a lot of that, when we run into those cases, it's more of the residential-type cases, the private. Because a lot of the bigger locations, you know, they're cool to find to go to and do the investigation and things, but there's really nothing for, like, Waverly Hills, for instance. There's nothing that we could put out there evidence-wise from Waverly Hills that would make people believe that it's haunted or disprove anything. So with the residential cases, it's more of the, I guess, the mystery of it, researching and trying to figure out. You know, it's like you got a blank slate and you're trying to fill in all these puzzle pieces to figure out, you know, why the place is haunted and, you know, why the family's experiencing all these things. And so those are the ones that we enjoy going back on. And
Yeah, there are a couple of the places I watched that you have recently did. Those are really, really crazy locations of some of the things that actually happened in those houses is pretty mind-blowing. And I think I'm going to do a couple of them that you guys went to, and so is Nikki. We're going to go together and investigate a couple of those locations because after we saw your videos, you know, we're like, holy crap, we got to get out to those locations and check them out.
Yeah,
I'll be on that. I think I called Dave at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, Dave, oh, my God, you have to look at this right now. And he was like, what? You know, because you know, well, hey, we're into the paranormal. We don't sleep. I never sleep, okay? Literally. So I have a lot of time to listen to YouTube stuff. So at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, Dave, oh, my God, you have to watch this right now. And I'm, like, sending him the link to you guys' video on his phone, his email, his social media pages, and I'm just like, you have to look at it now. So I said, watch it and call me. So he did, and he was like, oh, my goodness, we've got to go there now.
Oh, yeah. The Willow's Wheat, awesome. That
yes.
place.
Yeah, that's pretty wild place.
You guys look freaked out in that place. Tell us about that place.
Yeah,
Willow's Weep was unique, I think, for us, because it was the minute when you pulled on the property, it just felt weird. And I would like to think, you know, because we've been in so many places by now that we could set all that aside. But and then when you walk in the house, it just, you constantly felt like somebody was behind one of the doors watching you, or you felt like a heaviness on your chest and things like that.
Yeah.
And when we do locations like that, we try to, at some point in the night, go in by ourselves just to see if we can experience anything else and capture those things on video and stuff like that. And I got to say, out of all the places we've been, that's probably the one place that I've been real hesitant to go in by myself. But, and I think that was, what, your first night, Rocky, ever doing that by yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could tell you was freaked out.
Yeah, well, just sitting there thinking about the story behind everything, and, you know, you're sitting there in the chair, or, you know, the guy ended up shooting himself in, you know, it's just creepy.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah,
that
I think that was... the video really caught, like, what's in the chair? And then...
Yeah.
And I said the same exact thing that he did in response. Oh, no. That was just classic. Well,
yeah, they
I
actually
I can
stored everything in the bar.
When
oh,
I go
sorry.
There, I'm
yeah.
going to go in by myself. I got to. This
Make
place
sure
is calling
it
my name.
So
I don't know if that's good or not.
Oh, yeah. We're going to film that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
yeah.
thing, because women have bigger experiences and stuff there inside the house, too, so make sure
oh
you videotape it.
Oh, don't worry. We're actually going to be possibly streaming it, so.
Oh, well, that'd be cool.
Maybe
I
will wet my pants right on the YouTube. I don't know.
we're going to live stream that probably, so.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
I can't wait. That's the place of all the investigations I think I've ever seen anywhere. And trust me, I'm a paranormal junkie. That is the place that is just screaming my name. I told Dave, I said, that's it. We got to go. And
We booked
it just
already.
That he was able to
So when
are
you guys going?
August. Early
yep,
August.
That's going to be nice and hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be boiling.
It was freezing when we were there.
Yeah, it was like the middle of the winter.
So with us, I know she's in the chat somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be
I'm
cool.
I'm so excited.
We're actually going to do three locations in 3 days, right, Nikki?
Yeah, yep.
Up there.
And technically, I'm going to be doing four.
Yeah, you're doing four, I'm
there.
Doing three.
Right. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Hey, guys, what's your, any future things you got upcoming you want to tell us about, tell the fans about?
Yeah, right now we were just up in, just outside of Chicago last weekend filming up at a big farm.
That's what I wanted to
Willow Creek Farm. We
yeah.
spent all day up there, you know, filming during the day, shooting all the B-roll and stuff, and then had a pretty crazy investigation later that night. What was neat about this case, and it wasn't so much the claims of paranormal activity and things like that that intrigued us about the case. It was more about the story with the owner. You know, when somebody buys their dream home or their dream property and it turns out to be haunted and then it turns out to be their biggest nightmare. So that was kind of the story that we're hopefully wanting to share with other people that may have, you know, bought a home or whatever and didn't realize it was haunted until they moved in. So it's definitely one of our coolest investigations we've done in a while. I think we'll have that done here in the next couple weeks.
Cool.
I usually spend about anywhere from 60 to 80 hours on like a 30-minute video.
Oh, I
just
know.
Just putting everything together, so, which you do it, so you know how long it takes.
Yep, it's ridiculous. So,
I give you guys a lot
you want to give us a little bit of that storyline on that place, or you want to save it for the video?
Now, we can tell you a little bit about it. Al, which he just sent me an email with his last name. I forget what his last name is. But anyhow, he had bought this farm in 2007. He's from New York City, but his dream was always to move out to the Midwest and own a little farm. And he bought this farm, and come to find out it was haunted. And probably the first 6 months on the farm, he said, was just a complete nightmare. But at one point, he had the upstairs barricaded with, like, old mattresses and boxes and things like that, just
Holy
trying
cat.
To make any attempt he could to keep the spirits away from him. And then, of course, he gradually got into the paranormal, you know, letting other paranormal groups come out and do investigations and things like that. And I guess he learned to coexist with them. And so they kind of all live at peace now on the farm. But it's just such a beautiful location, and he's such a great storyteller. So I think it'll be informative for a lot of people to check it out. And, you know, it just from that side of the paranormal, aside from any of the evidence and things like that, the story itself will, I think, help a lot of groups out there when they're dealing with cases like this.
Yeah. Was the guy, did he have a family that lived there with him? Were they violently attacked and stuff like that, or?
There were some, early on, there were some violent things where he would leave and go into, like, Rockford and hang out with friends just so he didn't have to be at the farm.
Wow.
And he would wait, you know, stay in town as long as he could before he had to go back to the farm. And there's a lot of Native American history in that area. I know they've had different psychics and mediums and stuff out there. And I said that there was, like, an Indian burial plot on the back end of the property. We weren't able to document any of the, because a lot of people hear, like, Native American chanting and drums and things like that. We weren't able to document any of that stuff just because the storms and things were rolling in and it was loud outside, so.
Oh. Well, you might have to go back and do it again, you know.
Yeah. It's a definitely cool place.
That's awesome.
Anything else in the works you guys got coming up?
We got a couple residential cases we're going to be working on. And then I think we're heading up to Fostoria, Ohio. There's a location up there, and I can't remember the name right offhand. But it's like, I think it's like a museum. And then, of course, you know, mid-Ohio here at Post
yeah.
Town, that's coming up, what, the 19th? Yeah, we took a couple months off, and so now we're trying to get back in the swing of things, and we're pretty booked up now for the next couple months.
That's a good thing. You got to take breaks doing this sometimes. You get real, I don't know about you guys, but last year I did over 50 investigations, and I mean, after each one, it just drains you sometimes, you know, especially if you go into a location that's got negative energy.
Yeah.
You know, it drains you.
Yeah, normally, you know, we'll do one investigation, and then it'll take us a week to recover. I don't know if it's because we're getting old or...
old age kicking in.
But it's just such a process now versus, you know, going out and doing an investigation and collecting evidence. You know, we spend about anywhere from 2 weeks to a month researching and setting up interviews, and we'll go out and we'll spend the entire day shooting B-roll, shooting interviews. So, like, when we went up to Chicago, we left here at 5 o'clock in the morning, got up there, shot all the B-roll, interviews, did the investigation, and then drove back to Ohio. You know, we were back here by noon the next day, so, you know, sometimes we'll be up for 24 straight hours, and
yeah,
I think when we were out in Missouri, we were up for 40-some hours straight filming.
Wow.
So.
Nick knows all about that, don't you, Nick?
Yeah, that I do, that I do. I investigated all night at Fort Mifflin on Saturday night, left, and I got to shoot a cannon. That was the coolest thing ever.
That'd be cool. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, who does that? I can go, yeah, on my bucket list. Shot a cannon. I can cross that out. It wasn't on there, but I'm going to add it just so I can cross it out. And then I drove all the way home. But I had to stop in Gettysburg first. So literally I got home at 7:30 in the morning. But, you know, and usually it's, like, not a big deal for me because I'm always awake. But I like to sleep in the car while driving. Doesn't pan out so well. So
that ain't too good.
It was a struggle. Yeah. Well, I think we're really going to hit the – when we hit this road trip coming up here in August, I think Dave and I are probably going to be insane, sleep deprived, and coming off a paranormal high or low. I don't know which one yet. There's three haunted locations together in 3 days. Kind of a...
Where all are you going to go?
Dave,
we're
hitting, you do the
all those little locations in Indiana. We're hitting, what, Monroe House?
Oh, you love that place.
The Willow's Weep House and the... What's the other one? It's that Panzerotti's restaurant place.
Mm-hmm. Panzerotti?
Yeah.
Hamilton place.
How was that?
Yeah,
you
Hamilton.
You guys did that one too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was... I mean, Rocky can tell you about that one.
Well, you go ahead, Josh.
I was just going to say, it's that was unique versus a lot of the other places we've been to, because Panzerotti's has never been presented as a scary, creepy location where you got to worry about things happening.
Right.
And it's weird because you got the hospital on one side and you got a church on the other side, and Panzerotti's sits right down the middle of it. So, you know, they believe that a lot of the spirits are just passing through. You know, who knows? But it's definitely a, because you can just sit there and hear footsteps running up on the second floor or the attic and things like that. Hear voices constantly all night long. You just stop and listen. You don't have to ask questions. You just listen, and you hear people talking, and, you know, we caught a loud scream, and, of course, the ice maker, the haunted ice maker, went off and scared Sean.
Yeah.
me and Nikki, that was the one we were going to do, and I got to looking, and then I was like, holy, all those locations that Living Dead did are right there within an hour drive or
mm-hmm.
so. So I was
yeah,
like, we might as well hit for three of them while we're up there. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm coming all the way from Maryland. So, you know, it's like we got to make this worthwhile. We got to hit multiple locations. I'm just hoping that after the Monroe House, you know, and then going to the other house, that we're going to be able to function. Because I think
yeah.
those two are probably incredibly active. And
if,
not
you
so,
if you survive the Monroe House, you'll have fun.
The Monroe
yeah.
House is pretty bad.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
probably one of the craziest homes we've ever been into. I mean, it was, because a lot of times you hear these stories, you know, when you're talking to the people before you go into the investigation, and quite often you hear crazy stories and you get in there and it's everything's benign and it's not really that active. But this is one of the few, at the time it was just a residential case for us, you know, before they opened it up to the public, where... You know, everything they told us, pretty much we experienced that night, plus more. So that's definitely a crazy location. You guys will enjoy that.
So you guys were able to validate a lot of the claims that they were having in the house, right?
Yeah, that and more. I mean, we sat down at the end. It was probably one of our first evidence reveals to, like, a homeowner. And that we sat down with them, and because it was just that crazy, we had to explain it and what was taking place and things like that. And
what about
that
baby monitor?
Yeah, that was crazy, too.
What? I jumped. I had my speakers up really loud, and it went off, and it just caught me off guard. You know, I was in the zone, and all of a sudden I hear this, like, the first was like a benign little thing, but then the second was the static. I jumped out of my chair, to be honest with you, because I wasn't expecting that. You know, like, it was crazy.
Yeah, you should have. It was pretty wild, though, just standing down in the basement, and, you know, we're in pitch darkness, and then all of a sudden that thing goes off. It's like, what do you do? You know.
That's probably been one of our most controversial pieces of evidence we caught. But, you know, like I tell people, you know, other teams and things like that, just go out and use them, and then you can learn over time after you use it. When you're picking up other signals, or if it's something that's not another signal, because we've tried it on different cases where it was picking up, you know, other baby monitors and stuff like that, and we just shut it off.
Right.
Because you can clearly hear people talking in it.
Right. That's one thing I've never tried to use. You know, I've been doing this since 1986, and I thought about trying to use it, but maybe I will utilize it some since I saw you guys use it and you got some results out of it.
And because the transmitter was on the very top floor of the house, it's separated. You got the main house, and then upstairs is an apartment. And
yeah.
Me and Rocky were down in the basement, so, you know, there's no way for us to talk into the transmitter. And
if
we were getting feedback,
you could hear them walking.
Yeah,
you could hear that walking up there.
And just because Rocky was asking questions and we were getting direct responses. So that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you look for when you do paranormal investigation. You want a direct response to your question. I mean, that's what I look for. That's my bread and butter, you know. You want those direct responses to your question.
And when we first went into the location, there wasn't hardly anything known about the house. It was just, you know, the guy and his wife had bought the home at foreclosure. They were going to remodel it and either sell it or rent it out, and they couldn't even keep contractors in there because of all the activity. So there wasn't a whole lot of knowing why it would be haunted or what was going on. So when we caught this baby screaming, and by no means are we saying that there's actually a baby there haunting it, because I don't believe that every haunted location has to have a spirit in it. It could be the energy imprinted on a location or a certain item or something like that.
Right,
but anyhow,
yeah.
We caught this god-awful baby scream and things like that. And then 2 weeks later, they contacted us and said that they'd got hold of the lady that used to own the house, and she'd rented the upstairs to a younger couple, and they had an infant child that died of SIDS.
Oh, my God.
Whether or not that has anything to do with the evidence we captured, like I said, I don't ever believe that a child would haunt a location as far as, like, a baby or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that was just such a traumatic event that energy was imprinted on the location.
Right, yeah.
But there's definitely
something
dark
there.
Now,
what about that psychic lady? Where did she come into play? Did you guys bring her there, or was she... how did she come into play for that?
Mm-hmm. We were there... We got there early to shoot B-roll. I don't think you were there yet for this yet, were you, Rocky? Because you came a little bit later today.
Yeah, I missed all that stuff.
But myself and Greg, we were walking around shooting B-roll around the house, and we were up on the upstairs where the apartment is. And we've seen this lady sitting in there talking to a couple other ladies. So we were just minding our own business, getting our shots, and she started talking about Satan and all this stuff, and that kind of piqued my interest. So I went in there, and I go, do you mind if we film you? So that's kind of how we got into filming her. It was never set up or we brought her there or anything like that. It was just she happened to be there and she caught our attention. But it was pretty neat how
she
was able to pick up on everything.
She was very neat. Yeah, that was really cool. That's why I was like, you know, was she, you know, psychic from the area, or how did that work? Because she seemed to hit things pretty precise. So
that's still one of our most talked about investigations to this day. Is, you know, we get questions every day on YouTube and stuff about the Monroe House, and so no, we haven't dug up
the backyard. I was talking to the owner, and he was saying how when they were remodeling it, like, they could not keep workers in there. The workers would run off and never come back when they were trying to remodel the place.
Yeah, I mean, they've had paranormal teams go in there and 20 minutes leave the house, not go back in. I mean, it's just that crazy.
Wow.
I can't wait. Is that bad? I'm like,
yeah,
I can't wait. I can't wait. I honestly am so excited about this trip. It is probably the most exciting thing that I get to know about that's coming up ever in my whole life, you know, out of every opportunity I've been given. I'm so stoked about this. You know, just because
we'll
these places
we leave them,
have.
Making how excited you are.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if I'm excited or if I'm shaking in my boots.
Like, get me back to Maryland.
Hopefully you capture some. Yeah. Hopefully you get some good stuff.
And I'm sure they can agree, you know. Sometimes you got to go where you got to go to get the evidence, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. God knows we travel all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys work regular jobs? You want?
Yep, we all work during the week.
Wow,
so
how do you find
that
time
in itself
to do videos?
And to do paranormal investigations is really tough. Like you said, you know, you're working your job and then you've got to go off on your investigations, and it's very time consuming, you know.
Yeah, and then, you know, with the, I guess when we first got started, we didn't realize what all went into filming, you know, from start to finish. And, you know, we had to switch everything over to HD. Even all of our night vision now is all HD.
Right.
And then for our interviews and stuff, we bought a whole new lighting setup and all that stuff to shoot better interviews. And, of course, then you got audio and all that. So it's definitely been a learning process. But I think with this farm investigation we got coming up, it'll set itself aside from everything else we've done in the past. So hopefully people realize all the hard work we put into it and enjoy the finished product.
Yeah, I enjoy the way you guys do your investigations. And I think, you know, for me personally, guys, I think the people on YouTube and guys like us and you and people that put their stuff on their product on YouTube are the real deal. The stuff you see on TV is mostly garbage, okay? I'm telling you that right now. They have to get ratings. And the little guys like us that put our stuff, it's the real deal. You know, we don't enhance stuff. We don't do, you know, all the stuff you see on TV because they're governed by ratings. We're not.
Right.
You know?
That's why I tell people is, you know, if you're going to fake stuff, there'd be a whole, you could find a whole cheaper way to do it by staying at home and making stuff and not spending all this money on equipment and travel time and, you know, all those expenses. So.
Oh, yeah. It's a very expensive hobby, you know, if you want to call it a hobby. I know that's a controversy evidently this week as to whether we call it a hobby or an interest or what it's going to be titled. But regardless, whatever you want to call it, it's expensive. People
that's
don't
right,
realize
that. It's a hard dollar.
Yes.
I think especially with us, just... Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no. It just, you know, I think I've probably in the past month, I've probably dropped over $1,000 into everything, and I don't have a whole lot of different things to show for it. I've got reservations. That's about it. You know, like, I get a bar of soap from the hotel. Yes, this is where I went.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I'm sure you guys too, you know, you put all these miles on your vehicle, you travel all over the place, and, you know, it's kind of like you do it for helping others and also to answer your own questions. And,
right.
You know, people don't understand when they're sitting back critiquing it from their armchair, you know, how much time, effort, and blood, sweat, and tears that you put into it.
Right.
It's a lot.
I think we've been
when the car breaks down, ain't it, Josh?
Or you get pulled over, Rocky.
Yeah. Then you have to walk, like, maybe 5 miles.
Yeah, we've broken down after investigations at 4 o'clock in the morning in the middle of nowhere. And...
Oh, man.
Yeah,
hey,
I don't
Who's the oldest brother? Who's the oldest brother?
I am.
Josh?
It's Rocky. Yeah,
Rocky.
Yeah. And then it's Josh and then Sean. Sean's the baby.
So how long have you guys known Greg? Are you guys childhood friends or?
Yeah, we basically was childhood friends, grew up with him.
That's cool. So he's more like another brother, really, you know?
Right. Yeah, basically. So three is four.
When we first got started, I always thought, you know, you see these groups of like 15, 20 people. And I thought, well, how in the hell, why would you do that?
Right.
And then once we got into
it,
we realized how expensive it was to go out and go to these locations and to travel. I thought, well, it'd be more cost effective to have 20 people versus the three of us. So,
but then you can't. But, then you get into a location and your evidence is all contaminated because you got 20 people around.
Yeah, we've been talking
about
that a lot.
I have a location for you guys. If you hit me up on Facebook after the show, you need to come and investigate.
Okay.
Down here in
West
Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, you know, West Virginia, Kentucky, those areas are really what, as long as you're not in the city, but if you're out in the sticks, as you call it, down there, I mean, those are the places we like to go to, you know, just from the filming side of things, and so.
Oh, yeah. That's what I look
really
forward to. I like to look for the little places that no one's done, and just, you know, I do the same type of deal you guys. Dude, I look for those little gems that no one's ever been to, you know?
Definitely. Well, real quick, because we are actually getting ready to come up on the end of the show, if you can tell everyone how they can get a hold of you, your website, your YouTube, where they can get merchandise, where they can add you as a friend or follow you or what, all that good stuff.
If you go to YouTube and just type in Living Dead Paranormal, you can contact us that way. And then we've got a Living Dead Paranormal Facebook page, and then Rocky Foreman on Facebook. And then what, we got Twitter, Rocky? That's just Living Dead Paranormal on Twitter.
Yeah, and I think it's under Rocky Foreman on Twitter.
You can find it both ways, I think. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, all both ways. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, don't you guys have some DVDs coming out, too? You want to talk about that for real quick?
Yeah, we're going to be putting the Monroe House, Willow's Weep, and a new version. It's like unedited. It's got a lot of unseen footage of Pennhurst that we're going to be putting on DVD. And we should have that out sometime in the next couple weeks. And then hopefully in the next couple weeks we'll have the Willow Creek Farm investigation coming out. And we'll keep all that updated on Facebook. And
is that where folks can buy the DVDs at, on off of Facebook?
Yeah, we have a link on there. We've got a merchandise page, and then you can go on there, and we've got, I think, five different DVDs. You can purchase the DVDs or watch it for free on YouTube. I mean, some people just like to have the DVD. So
yeah, plus it helps fund your ghost hunts, right? That's where your proceeds go, right?
Yeah, I've learned that we put a lot more money in DVDs and T-shirts than we ever get out of it, so.
Can
you buy t-shirts?
We end up losing. Yeah.
Yeah, Rocky
actually
just got some hot pink tank tops printed.
Yeah. And there's black ones that's got pink writing on them. They're pretty cool.
Oh, I'm totally going to buy those once they're on there. If they're not on there already, let me know when they are. I will be buying some of those. More than one, because when I find something I like, I buy it in bulk. So watch out. Well, thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for putting your stuff on YouTube and providing Dave and I what I am looking forward to is my adventure of a lifetime. Because without seeing you guys, you know, investigate these places, I wouldn't have even known that they existed. So thank you. And keep coming out with your videos and entertain me, please.
And thank you guys
for having us
on the show. You guys did a great job, so we really appreciate it.
Enjoy
it,
guys.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Bye.
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 All right. Bye.
Now, Dave. Do you have a YouTube show this week?
I'm probably going to do one Friday or Saturday night.
Okay. Well, everyone keep an eye out for that because, you know, my co-host here has his own YouTube show, so he does the same kind of thing. So check him out. He also goes on and talks about different things of interest within the paranormal. So tune in. And if you can't find him by going to YouTube, just go to ghostgalnikki.com or nikkiparanormal.com, and there's a whole video page. And as of right now, it is all safe things. So check that out.
I'm so lucky that you did that. Thank you.
No problem. I have to add more to it and make it pretty. Remember, I have to line everything up. I haven't had a chance. But also, you could go over to Dave Spinks Paranormal Investigator and check out his website there. And on YouTube, it is Country Roads Paranormal TV, right?
Yeah. Yep, Country Roads Paranormal.
Awesome. So, everyone, thank you for listening, and tune in next week. We have Dave Giuliano, so you'll want to hear all of the cool stuff that he's going to tell you about his store and all the teams he's involved with and all the interesting stuff he's doing in the paranormal. So that's going to be next Tuesday at 9. And thank you, everybody. Have a good week.
All right.
Bye.